Please take your Bibles now and turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and Ephesians chapter 1. This morning we are going to focus on just one verse that is in Ephesians chapter 1. It's verse 2. It's the common apostolic greeting that is likely very familiar to you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would guess that it's a phrase that we easily skip over or we hear without thinking about a lot. And so I wanted to camp out on this phrase, on this verse with you this morning and meditate on it and think more deeply about it and try to understand why Paul and the apostles so often use these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit as they wrote the Word of God, to greet the believers, to greet the Christians in the churches to whom they wrote. And so we're going to consider these words together in depth this morning, and I hope and pray it will be a blessing to us. There is an outline, a simple outline in the bulletin if you'd like to use that to follow along. I'm going to read verse 1 through 14 of chapter 1, so you get some of the context and hear some of the other things Paul says about grace and peace, and then I'll also read verse 8 through 18 of chapter 2 from Ephesians. But again, our focus is on verse 2 of Ephesians. And we could have looked at this same phrase from any other, one of the other epistles where it's used, but I'm choosing Ephesians because there's other key parts here about grace and peace in this epistle. So let's give our attention now to the Word of God. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. And now skip down to chapter 2 and verse 8, and I'll read through verse 18 here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And that's where we'll end the reading of God's word this morning. Let's stop and ask for his blessing. Father in heaven, this morning we ask that you'd give us ears to hear your word. We pray that you would give us eyes to see. Father, give us minds that would rightly understand and apply your truth. Give us hearts that would be receptive and would be soft ground for the seed of your word. Lord, make our hands ready to carry out your word and our feet ready to walk in your ways to your glory. And Lord, as we've just recently sung, your way teach us, Lord, that we might walk in your truth and unite our hearts to your truth, that we might fear you and glorify you. Lord, our help and our strength are in you. And so we ask now for your glory and your grace to be upon us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll find those same words in seven other New Testament epistles, and nearly the same words in 10 others, often just shortened to grace and peace to you. Sometimes with the added word mercy, grace, mercy, and peace to you. And this morning, I want you to imagine receiving a handwritten letter, an epistle, from one of the apostles. An apostle was an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. They saw his life and death and resurrection, and they were authorized and sent out by him to preach the gospel and to write his word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this letter was hand-delivered to your church from one of the apostles, where it was read aloud. And some of the very first words in that letter written to you were not the customary Greek keren, greetings, hail, but a twist off of that, an expansion of that to caress, grace. Grace to you and peace. Now that greeting that we're considering this morning may be very familiar to you, and because it's so familiar and you hear it often, it may seem rather insignificant. Why are we spending so much time on this? We all know what grace is and what peace is. Wasn't this just the way Paul started his letters, in a polite way, in a Christian way? Or isn't this just a nice way to signal the start of worship? But friends, these words are far from merely conventional. Every word in this phrase is loaded with significance, is intentionally chosen to communicate great truth. Every word is dripping with gospel truth that would have had a profound effect on the original hearers and ought to have a profound effect on us this morning as well. And each time we hear or read these words, this is no empty routine phrase. It is loaded. These are words that we need to cherish and understand and lay hold of and meditate on. These words would have been first read in a setting much like ours to a group of people much like us, a group of weak, simple, ordinary, broken sinners. But God didn't say through his apostle writing to them in the opening words, "Depart." He didn't say guilty or get it together, or listen up, or else. No, those were not his first words. His first words were grace to you and peace. And as you hear those words this morning, I want you to taste how sweet and comforting and life-giving these words really are. God proclaims to you and provides for you grace and peace. His word to you, his relationship with you, his activity for you is grace and peace. These are the tender words of a father to his children whom he loves. And so let us turn our hearts and our minds to these words together this morning. And I want us to consider three simple points as we unpack this phrase. I want us to consider the gift. What is spoken? What is given to us? I want us to consider the giver, who it is that gives grace and peace to the church. And then finally, gratitude. How should we respond to this? What should be our grateful response? So first of all, let's consider the gift. What is it that's given to you? Well, there are two parts to the gift, both grace and peace. But before we consider that, I want you to notice two other key words in this phrase that we can overlook. Look at verse 2 again. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace are the gifts. But who are they given to? Grace to you. If you are trusting in Christ, grace and peace are given to you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Grace and peace to you, the fallen sinner. To you, the discouraged. To you, the young child. The one with graying hair. The weary pilgrim. The sad. The suffering. To you, the unconfident teen. To you, the struggling backslider, the doubter, to you who is guilt-ridden this morning, ashamed. Grace to you, the one who's worried. No matter who you are, no matter the struggles or the trials you are facing, the doubts or discouragements you have, these words and these gifts are to all of you who are unworthy sinners, but clinging to and united to Jesus Christ by faith. God says, grace and peace to you. These are for you. Don't miss this. Don't miss that these words are for you. You don't have to be in Ephesus. This letter is for the church universal throughout the ages. These words are for you if you believe and receive the word of God. Grace to you. And peace. And that leads us to consider then the gift. What is given to you in these words? Well, the first part of God's gift to you that he speaks to you here is grace. Grace to you. And this word is familiar. It and its derivatives occur in the Bible over 200 times. So this is a very common word in Scripture, and it's a familiar word, but I think it's an often misunderstood word and misapplied. This grace is not primarily a personal virtue. This grace is not just a one-time gift back when you got saved that freed you from the penalty of sin. This grace is not an impersonal substance or an abstract quality that you receive mysteriously or automatically by just showing up or by doing X, Y, or Z. This is not something you get by just being in the right family or the right church. God's grace to you is his free, active love for you through Jesus Christ. His free love in action through Jesus Christ. His grace is his salvation bestowed on guilty sinners. You'll often hear grace defined as unmerited favor, and that's a start, but that's not the whole story. That's actually kind of a truncated definition, because grace is actually demerited favor. It's not merely a free gift to those who have not merited it. It is a gift to those who have merited, who deserve the opposite. It is God's gift to those who deserve his disfavor, his curse, his judgment. Grace is heaven for those who deserve hell. Romans 3, verse 23 and 24 say, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift." Forgiveness and justification is by God's grace, a free gift to those who have sinned, to those who have fallen short, who don't deserve it, but actually deserve condemnation. Grace is given to the guilty. We read earlier, Ephesians 2, verse 8, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works." Friends, your works are sinful. They fall short and deserve the opposite of God's grace. But by grace, God freely gives you what Christ alone merited, what Christ alone achieved. And that is eternal life and favor, love, sonship, a declaration of pardon and innocence. And really every part of salvation from first to last, the entire Christian life is all of the free sovereign grace of God. As the catechisms remind us, justification, adoption, sanctification are all of God's free grace. Faith and repentance are saving graces. And so God's grace is everything. Without it, we are totally lost. We are lost in our sins. We are under the just curse and judgment of God. Grace is the gospel. Grace is the power of God that accomplishes salvation for sinners. And so grace ought to be sweet-sounding good news to us who are sinners, who are weak, weary, struggling sinners. One writer said, "Grace is mightier than all of our sins, all of our adverse circumstances, and all of our human impossibilities. Grace is the heart of the Bible and the heart of our salvation." We don't have time this morning to do justice to the immeasurable gift of God's grace, but I hope you are reminded or catch a greater glimpse of why it is such a wonderful word and a wonderful work of God for you. But it gets even better because you're also given peace. Peace is the second part of the gift, the second part of this greeting. Grace to you and peace. Now, this peace is not a life of ease and prosperity and health. That is not what Paul is talking about. This peace is not a vague, subjective feeling. It's not merely the absence of violence. This peace is not a movement that started in the 60s. It's not a sign for selfies. This peace is a gift of God that flows from his grace. We could say his grace produces this peace. And it's peace, first of all, between God and man, the holy God and sinners. We who were sinners, who were hostile to God, who were his enemies, who were not at peace with him, have been reconciled by his grace. Romans 5, verses 1 and 2, we heard this earlier, says, "Since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so peace is first and foremost the restoration of our relationship with our God and our Creator, whom we've sinned against, whom we've offended. We now have his smile and his blessing, his welcome and his love. And peace with God and from God also means a holistic well-being to our person. It means shalom, a physical and spiritual peace, a wholeness, body and soul that's grounded in the grace of God and in our union with Jesus Christ. that comes from the indwelling of His Spirit, our death to sin, our hope of glory, our resting in God's providence and plan no matter what happens. This peace becomes an anchor in the storm, a calm frame of mind and soul that guards and stabilizes us in this life that is so often void of peace. Jesus said at the end of John 16 that in Him you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Because God has poured out His grace on us in the gospel, we can be at peace in this world of tribulation and trouble. We can be at peace with God, with fellow believers. We can have peace in our hearts. And that doesn't mean always peaceful circumstances, but peace in the midst of this life that can be overwhelming. God speaks and gives peace to you. And that is an awesome gift. Such peace can come from no other source but from Him and His immeasurable and glorious grace. Grace to you and peace. Those are the gifts. Those are the words. The words that you most need. The gifts that meet your greatest needs. And we've barely scratched the surface this morning of their value, but these gifts God promises and provides for His people are really a summary of all that God says and does for His people, for you, in the Bible. What is the Bible all about? What is the gospel all about? Well, here it is in a nutshell. God's free gift of grace and peace to undeserving, needy sinners. And this really sets the scriptures and Christianity worlds apart from every other religion and worldview. The gospel says you are lost. You're fallen, you're dead in your sins. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can be to be saved and to have real peace and life. But in love and by grace, Christ has come and done it all for you. He has lived, He has died, He has risen again to give you salvation and peace and life. And all you need to do is receive this gift, to hear this good news and believe by faith and have life and salvation and joy. Grace and peace to you. What awesome gifts. What good news. What words that we need to hear and lay hold of. Well, that leads us then to consider next this morning. Second, having considered the gifts briefly, let us consider the giver. The giver. Who gives grace and peace? Look again with me at verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We could spend all morning talking about the gifts of grace and peace, but equally important, if not more important, is the giver of these gifts, who they come from, the source. The grace and peace spoken to and given to you is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, it's from God our Father. Grace always has its origin in the Almighty God of the universe. Grace is God's attribute and God's activity towards and for sinners whom He chooses and saves. And God our Father is the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. And He gives us grace as our Father. And He's our Father because He's the Father of Jesus. And by grace, He unites us to Jesus and thus counts us as His sons, His children. He adopts us so that He can be our Father. And so when the apostle greets the church with grace from God our Father, he's reminding them of the giver of that grace. He's reminding them that they are His children and that He's actually their brother. They share God as Father. They're a part of the family of God. And this would have reminded them, and it reminds us, that this grace is not just a cold legal transaction. It's not just this abstract spiritual power. Peace is not this gift that's just remotely delivered to the church in this cold transaction. These gifts don't come from a distant power, but from a personal, intimate source. They come from a giver who wants to be known and loved, who has condescended to reconcile them and to create a new relationship. And so fundamentally, grace and peace is really God giving us Himself. If you think about that often repeated promise in the Old Testament, I will be your God and you will be my people. You will have me and I will have you because I have redeemed you. And I'm giving you grace and peace. And even more personal than that, I will be and I am your Father. You are my children. And not only is this a saving relationship in which our sin is dealt with, and we have eternal security, but it's a living relationship that now gives us an identity and a purpose, a peace and a joy. It tells us who we are. We are children of the Father. It tells us where we belong and where we're going. God is our Father. He gives us what is good. He knows us. He loves us. He always will. We can go to Him and speak to Him and relate to Him and cry to Him and crawl up into His lap as we would a loving, tender father. God, our Father, is the source, the giver of this gift. And the other giver, the other source of grace and peace, as we see here in verse 2, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. No surprise there that this grace and peace comes from Jesus Christ as well. The Son, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And that word Lord is a divine title that claims Jesus has all authority and power as God the Son. And He is the Lord Jesus. That name Jesus, He is the one who came from heaven to earth to become a man, to be Savior, as that name Jesus means, who came to stand in our place as sinners and take our punishment, and stand in our place as the righteous one to make peace by His blood shed on the cross. Colossians 1:20. He is the Lord Jesus, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ. That title Christ means anointed one, Messiah, the one who is the only mediator between God and man, the only means by which God can pour out grace on sinners and give them peace and make peace. There is no grace and no peace apart from Jesus and His work. And He Himself is really, again, both the gift and the giver. And so, friends, here is the giver, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who you owe your life to, your worship to, your love and your devotion to. Rejoice in the gift, but also in the giver. Love Him, thank Him, long to know Him and be with Him. The giver of this grace and peace is God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we move on, let me address a question that can often arise when we consider this common apostolic greeting. And the question is, what about the Holy Spirit? Is He left out here in this greeting? Where's the third person of the Trinity? Doesn't grace also come from Him? And the answer is absolutely. And so absolutely and so obviously that perhaps Paul just implied and assumed it. The Holy Spirit is, after all, He who applies the grace of God to us. How else could we have God's grace and peace without Him? In fact, we could say that He is the grace and peace from God that is given to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who applies and supplies the grace and peace. He himself is grace and peace, and he dwells in us. Paul goes on to talk of him in Ephesians as our seal and our guarantee, the one who reveals God and his grace to us and dwells in us and builds us up. And so we need to not assume Paul is mistakenly leaving out the Holy Spirit from this greeting. Not every verse, not every phrase has to say everything that could be said. And we look to the whole of inspired Scripture for our theology, which is thoroughly Trinitarian, which does not leave out the Holy Spirit. Also, another thing to consider is that the Holy Spirit was already with the Ephesians. He was dwelling in them. He is in each church, in each believer united to Jesus Christ. And so in one sense, he doesn't need to greet the church from afar, from heaven, with grace and peace, as the Father and the Son do, because he's already with them. He's already applying that grace and peace. And so what we can say is that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the giver of grace and peace. And yet the Lord highlights the role of the Father and the Son and emphasizes that in this greeting. God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ gives this grace and peace to you. And that leads us then, third and finally this morning, to consider gratitude. If grace and peace is truly given to us, if God gives us himself, how does that touch daily life? What difference does that make? Should that make? What should be our grateful response? And again, we could spend hours here. The whole Christian life is lived in response to and from the basis of God's grace and peace, from the gospel. But I want to give 7 points briefly that I think should flow from God's grace and peace to you. And they all begin with the letter H, and maybe if that helps you remember some of them, great. But if God gives and speaks grace and peace to you, then how should you respond? Well, first of all, you need to respond by hearing. Hearing. Friends, you need to hear this again and again. God's message, God's word to you, really a summary of the whole Bible and the whole gospel, is grace and peace. And you need to know your need for that grace and peace. And you need to hear this again and again with faith. Receive it as the gift it is and believe it. You need to hear this when you feel distant from God, when you feel unloved, when you doubt his promises, when there's little peace in your life, when you're tempted to pride, or when you're tempted to despair. You need to hear this even on ordinary or good days. Live and breathe God's grace and peace daily. God has repeated this in his word so often, I think, in part because we need to hear it again and again. And I know much of this has been review, I think, for many of you. But friends, we never graduate and move on from needing God's grace and peace and from needing to hear this again and again. And so, brothers and sisters, hear this good news. Hear these words from God. Second, we should respond to God's grace and peace with humility. Grace and peace humble us. Grace is needed because we sin and we deserve judgment. Because our works are filthy rags. They contribute nothing to our salvation. Christ alone works for us. Grace leaves no room for boasting. It leaves no room for legalism or lawlessness. Grace crushes pride. And peace comes only from God. Not from our performance, not from our power, not from our achievements or our circumstances. It is a gift of God. Grace and peace also level all of us amongst ourselves. Think about it. We are all a work of God's grace. We are all recipients of grace. None of us deserve anything. We can do nothing in our own strength. We can both boast of nothing before God or man. We cannot look down on others. Grace and peace drive us to humility. Third, grace and peace get into and change our hearts. Heart. Grace and peace replace cold hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. God implants grace in the heart. Gratitude. And if God's grace and peace doesn't melt your heart, doesn't make you thankful, then you're missing it. You really don't know and appreciate this to the extent you should and you could. His grace is immeasurable because your sins are immeasurable. His grace conquers and covers all of your sin. And peace with God comes at the cost of the shed blood of Christ, which we're going to remember in a few minutes. And so we must be grateful. How could we not be full of grace and gratitude? How could our hearts not be touched and changed by this grace and peace? Fourth, we need to respond to God's grace and peace with happiness. We can have happiness because of this. Not the surface level, passing emotional feeling, but deep, lasting joy that comes from belonging to God, that comes from having real peace with Him, being at peace with the one who created you, having this peace that passes understanding, eternal life and security for body and soul. If God is and gives and speaks grace and peace to us, that is the best thing. That is the best news that could ever happen to you. That is the best gift that could ever be given to you. And so we must be and we can be happy and joyful people, even in this broken world, because of that. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. With God's grace and peace, you have the ability to and you have reason for true happiness. Fifth, grace and peace ought to drive us to holiness. Holiness. Grace is not just a one-time thing that saves you in the past and gets you out of hell in the future. It is that, but it is so much more. The grace that justifies you, that takes away the guilt and penalty of sin and frees you from hell, also breaks the power of that sin in your life and will slowly begin to remove it from your life and finally remove it completely one day in glory. God's grace and peace transform us from sinners to saints, from slaves of sin to slaves of Christ. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us makes us holy progressively as we seek to live by faith in new obedience and for His glory. Grace and peace do not make passive Christians, but grateful Christians living a life of holiness, increasing holiness to the glory of God. Titus 2 verse 11 teaches this. It says, "The grace of God has appeared, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives." Sixth, grace and peace also call us to honor the giver. They drive us to worship and praise. Remember, we read in Ephesians 1, verse 3 and following, goes on to say, "Blessed be God who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace." God gives us grace and peace to His honor and glory, to the praise of His glorious grace. Grace drives us to our knees in worship to honor and praise God. Do you live with grace and with peace? Do you have these gifts? Then, friends, honor and worship and praise the one who gave them to you through His Son. How could we not? The gifts of grace and peace ought to drive us to the giver again and again in worship to honor and praise Him. And then finally, Number 7 this morning. Grace and peace, brothers and sisters, ought to bring great hope. Hope. If God speaks and gives grace and peace to you, to His people, that gives us hope. Hope of heaven. Hope today. Hope in trials. Hope in battling sin. Hope for lost sinners. Hope in the face of sickness and death. Hope that He will never stop proclaiming and providing grace and peace as our Father because of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. These words God so often speaks give true hope. And so, brothers and sisters, trust this God. Cling to Jesus Christ. Receive with faith His free gifts of grace and peace. And be encouraged. Have hope. Honor Him. Live holy lives by His grace. With happiness and joy by His peace. With all your heart, with all humility. Continuing to hear and believe these amazing words. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are our Father, that you have given us your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by your Holy Spirit we can truly have and know this grace and this peace. Lord, what awesome gifts these are that we can't even begin to wrap our minds and our hearts around. And yet I pray that we would marvel at your grace and your peace even more than we did when we came in this morning. And that they would be transformative for us. That we would honor and worship you all the more and trust you all the more as a result of meditating on all you have done for us and all you are for us. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your peace. We treasure these gifts and we treasure you, the giver. And we worship you and praise you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.